Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Clay Johnson, Deputy Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget. Also joining us in our conversation is John Nyland, Managing Partner for IBM's Global Business Services in the public sector. Clay, let's revisit the PMA and the now well-known traffic light scorecard, which represents a method for tracking and guiding the federal performance efforts. Under this rubric, getting to green and sustaining the green status is critical. But what happens after all have achieved a green status? How does all this green, so to speak, translate into agencies and programs working better and continuing to work better? And if I may, what lies beyond the green?
That's a good question. In fact, it's a question that the president has asked the management people at each agency twice now. Head management people at each of the agencies meet with him once a year to brief him on what we're doing. And 2 years ago, he said, what happened? Same question. What happens when the agency gets to green? What happens then? And this past year, he challenged us. He said, because we talked about how we were getting more green at each agency, he said, that's great, but you make sure all that green is converting into agencies working better, not only for the remainder of the time that we're here, but beyond. What the PMA is about primarily is about agencies developing the ability to be more effective, to develop human capital practices, cost management practices, investment management practices, particularly with IT, financial management practices, and program management practices, that with these abilities and with the motivation to serve the taxpayer at a higher, the citizen at a higher level, you can do so. But just having the ability does not necessarily mean that your programs are going to work better. We've all known of athletes that were very gifted, but they never could convert their gifted athletic ability into performance on the field or on the court. So the president's charge to us, we interpret it to mean, let's get more green, let's develop the ability to do well, but then let's make sure the leadership of the agencies are using these newfound abilities to cause their programs to work more effectively. Which makes me think that the most important aspect of the president's management agenda is what we call the Budget Performance Integration Initiative, which is the effort by which we make sure that we have good definitions of success for each program, both performance objectives and cost efficiency objectives. Because when we're trying to get better, the first question is, well, how do we measure success? And if we don't have good measures, we can never be held accountable or never document or demonstrate that we're getting better. So one of the things we've developed over the last 5-6 years is better metrics so that we can more effectively focus on our programs getting better. The challenge now is being able to convert it to programs working better and demonstrate it and quantify it.
Now, in the last OMB scorecard, as I look at the breakdown, it appears that of the 15 major cabinet departments, the green status tends to be concentrated in many of the smaller departments, such as labor, state, education, and transportation, while the bigger departments, defense, homeland security, VA, justice, and treasury, seem to have most of the yellows and reds. Why are the biggest departments with more people and supposedly more resources apparently lagging behind some of the smaller agencies?
Well, it is true that size and complexity is an issue. The Defense Department is the largest, most complex organization in the world of any sort. So that's a challenge. And the Department of Homeland Security is the combination of 21 or 22 agencies, and so it's still going through some growing pains. The size and complexity of those organizations has a big impact on their ability to develop the green level of management capability that they and we aspire them to have. The biggest issue is not size and complexity. The biggest issue is leadership and attention to detail and attention to these matters. I wish I could say that all the big agencies, yellow and red, are a result of size and complexity. A lot of it is that they just haven't paid as much attention to it or haven't been as good about addressing their management opportunities as some of the other agencies. There are too many examples of big, complex organizations doing a great job and equally sized organizations not doing as good a job, and it's the size and complexity the same. So we don't give the big agencies a pass just because they're big and complex. It's all about those four things I was talking about earlier. It's, you know, clear definition of success and action plan and accountability, making sure everybody knows it's important, whether we're at war or not or whether we're under attack or not, how we manage our resources and our people in all of our agencies has got to be a 24/7 priority.
Now, along the same lines, in the last OMB scorecard, about half of the federal agencies, received a red rating in financial performance. Could you tell us from your perspective why this is such a challenging area for federal agencies?
A lot of agencies like DOD, like HHS, like VA, like Homeland Security can't get to a place where they and we want them to be on financial management until they have a brand new, many years to develop financial management system. It takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of attention to detail and a lot of commitment. You've got to know where you're spending the money and be able to account for it and be able to get good, accurate cost information in front of managers. And a lot of those agencies did not have the financial management systems to be able to do that. So they're in the process of developing those. So that's the substantive reason why. The other sort of scoring reason why is it used to be a little easier to get to yellow and then a little harder to get to green. And we changed this, what it meant to be yellow a couple of years ago, which means when you go from red, you go immediately from red to green. There is no yellow in financial management. There are a lot of things that are being done in the financial management area that people thought would never happen in the federal government. If you'd asked anybody that knows anything about financial management in a large organization, if asked if the federal government could close its books and issue its audited financial statements in 45 days, if you'd asked them that 10 years ago, they would have laughed. We've done it for 2 years running. Private sector takes 75 days to issue their audited financial statements. We do it in 45. Unbelievable. 6 years ago, the Ag Department had never had an unqualified audit opinion in its 140-year history. It had never had an unqualified audit opinion. The chief financial officer asked why, and nobody knew why. They just knew that it was impossible. 1 year later, they had a clean audit opinion, and they've had one ever since. Wonderful things have happened in the financial management area, more things still to happen. We're managing real property in ways that no one thought possible. We're formally reducing improper payments in ways no one thought possible. But you're right, there's more red in the financial management area than anywhere else, which kind of disguises some of the big gains that are being made. But that's the way it is, and we live with it.
Clay, OMB's results.gov website has been primarily a place for OMB to post the results of the quarterly PMA scorecard. Could you tell us about the recent relaunch of the site and how does the new site enable the exchange of ideas between federal employees about good management practices?
We realized that this results.gov website was all about the ability to do well, about getting to green, about improving our ability to become more effective. And there was an opportunity to focus it on taking all these abilities and, in fact, causing programs to work better. So we decided to change it. We had matured and we needed to focus on getting beyond green, as we've talked about. We created three sections, which is – there's one section which identifies programs that have used various PMA abilities to cause them to be more effective. They used to perform at one level and they saw opportunities to make it better. When I say they, I mean federal employees. They took action, they made changes in the program, and now it's working at some improved level of performance. That's one new section on the website. Another new section is keys to success, management keys, teamwork keys. And a third section is obstacles that exist out there that people should be mindful of and should work with us and Congress to remove. So there are things that help us be more effective, things that get in the way of us being more effective, and then examples of us overcoming all these challenges and causing our programs to be more effective. So we're very excited about it. It's results.gov, and we think it's the way the site ought to be focused now, given where we are after 6 years of the PMA.
That's great. Now, could you tell us a little bit about the President's Management Council or the PMC? It's our understanding that President Bush has attended several PMC meetings being briefed on real, meaningful results. Perhaps highlight some of those real examples of meaningful program performance. And I understand that there's an interesting story from the Interior Department about feeder mice.
Feeder mice, my favorite story. 3 years ago, I guess, we've done it 3 years in a row now, we had the president meet with what's called the President's Management Council. This is a group that was formed, I think, formalized by executive order in the maybe in the Clinton administration, and then we carried on the tradition where there's a – you take all the chief operating officers, all the senior management officers in the agencies, and they meet – every other month to talk about issues and opportunities of common interest. It's typically the deputy secretaries in the large agencies or the undersecretaries for management, and in the smaller independent agencies like GSA and OPM, it's the heads of those agencies. And so this last time we were, apropos of getting beyond green, we were not talking about improving competitive sourcing and human capital. We were talking about programs working better. And we talked about big, big changes like FAA, a very large organization where there had been a lot of wasteful spending, a lot of cost overruns. Management came in, and I don't mean just political management. I'm talking about political career, looking at this and deciding that there were opportunities to run FAA better. They saw the opportunity to consolidate offices. They installed a new financial management cost accounting system. They improved individual managers' accountability for service levels. They developed better service metrics. They competitively sourced their flight services operation. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with the service level and the cost being provided to private aircraft operators. They renegotiated a labor contract, and they looked at their staffing levels. And the results were that they improved customer service from 54% approval rating to 77% approval rating in a couple of years. They improved their savings of their operation, $200 million for the year, and they improved agency performance significantly. Just really sort of an agency-wide effort. At the other extreme, you have the feeder mice story, great story. I've told the people of the Interior Department when I visit with them, I said, if this story is not true, don't tell me. It's too good a story. I want to believe that this story is true. No one has denied it yet. And Lynn Scarlett, who's the deputy secretary over there, swears that it's true. But there's a Chickasaw National Park or Chickasaw Recreational Area in Oklahoma. And the Interior Department had given their managers better cost information about where they were spending their money and then challenged all their managers to think about their mission, really think much more single-mindedly about what business they were in and look at how they were spending their money and think about spending more money or as much money as possible directly against their mission versus indirect monies against their mission. The more money you can spend directly against your mission, the more focused on your mission you'll be. So they're in the business of providing recreational opportunities for citizens, and they also have two endangered species there. They have an endangered snake and an endangered owl there that they keep fed. So they looked in great detail with new information about where they're spending money. They realized they were spending a lot of money raising mice to feed these endangered animals. And it struck them that this was really – these mice were really expensive to raise. And someone asked the question, what could we buy mice for? They determined they could buy mice cheaper from the pet store than they could raise them. They realized, well, we're not in the feeder mice raising business. We're in the endangered animal preserving business and in the recreational opportunity business. So they stopped raising mice. They bought the mice from the pet store. They reduced their cost $15,000 a year and took those savings and spent it to improve the quality and quantity of the trails through the wilderness area. So just a great story, $15,000 a year, not $15 billion, $15 million, but it's the same. It's the principle, and it was all done by the management, given the charge. Think about how you can spend even more of your money directly against your mission versus on indirect costs, and they came up with just a classic way to do it. So one of our big challenges in the federal government is look for the feeder mice example in every agency, large and small.
Clay, let me switch gears a little bit here. In 2003, OMB initiated its Program Assessment Rating Tool, which is commonly referred to as the PART. Could you tell us briefly about the PART, what is its purpose and scope, and how has it introduced a new level of transparency and led to a more citizen-centric approach to government?
The PART was developed in 2001 by the leadership of Mitch Daniels and Sean O'Keefe and Mark Everson, and when they wanted to focus more and more on the effectiveness of programs, they realized there was no consistent way of evaluating programs. And there was a lot of programs couldn't tell you whether they worked or not. And so that it was, let's develop a number of questions we should ask ourselves about every program that every small businessman, every large businessman, every nonprofit organization either does or should be asking themselves. What's our purpose? How are we set up to achieve that purpose? What sort of plans do we have for the future? What's the quality of our management? How do we define success? What are our performance measures? How accountable do we hold ourselves, or are we held accountable for those results. These are common sense 25, 27 questions that are not esoteric. They're just any organization ought to be asking themselves about it. And you can ask them of defense programs, interior programs, Social Security programs. So it's a consistent set of questions, a way to get a feeling for whether programs work or not. If they don't work to our satisfaction, if we don't have satisfactory answers to all those questions, where are their shortcomings? What do we need to work on to cause a good program, a medium program, or a bad program to work better? So the purpose is give us some consistency, give us a way to compare program effectiveness across the board, and then do so in such a way that allows us to focus on the things that need to be fixed to make the program work better.
How has OMB's program assessment rating tool changed the way government does business? We will ask Clay Johnson, Deputy Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.